Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet, where we are taking a look once again at a busy weekend. We've got four live races at Haydock with this meeting, having a great record of unearthing some top-class horses. We'll see if the panel perhaps think there may be one lurking in the fields at Haydock. We'll also be heading to York for two live races there. We've got Keith Melrose, our summer sprint king, to assess the big sprint at York, a really competitive handicap there. And of course, we'll be going to Chester as well for one live ITV race there. Just as always, if you are a fan of a show, do make sure to rate, review and subscribe. But before we get stuck in to the weekend, we're going to have a little bonus bit for you here. We're going to have an Ascot anti-post angle, hearing what our key fancies are with about just over 3 weeks to go for the big one at Royal Ascot. We're going to start in the bottom left with our betting editor, Keith Melrose. Keith, your two anti-post selections for Royal Ascot, please.
Well, we asked for two, and I thought, well, it's funny that, because I've only had two bets for Ascot so far. I've also done a big Yahoo double on them. I've been looking at the King Charles III Stakes, the Old King Stand, and the Jubilee Stakes. Jasseur's running on Saturday over five. I think five furlongs is potentially the making of this horse. He always tended to blow his brains a little bit over six, and he's obviously got loads of good Ascot form. It's still a very open race, the King Charles. So I thought he was a very big price ahead of his reappearance. You know, might not put him up on Saturday. He needs the run. He had three entries last weekend, didn't run in any of them, and he's out again. So I think they're just getting a run into him this weekend, but I fancy him to really come on for the King Stand. And then in the Jubilee Stakes, I thought Flora of Bermuda shaped so well at York, considering how weak the market had been against her on her reappearance. Gave in this year in a right race, and obviously she has good Ascot form herself. She was third in the Champion Sprint last October and was really hitting the line sort of hard just in her general profile. She was improving at last back end, came back with a big run. She was also well at the double figure odds. So yeah, I've backed both of them at double figure prices. And when you've done that, I thought it was a bit daft not to have a tidy little double in case it comes off. So there are my two at Royal Ascot. You've got Jasseur in the King Charles III and Flora of Bermuda in the Jubilee.
Just saw 25-1 with Unibet, Flora of Bermuda 14-1. We're also joined by, in the top right, if you're watching along, Tom Park, who's heading to the darts, the Premier League darts final later today. Tom, what is going to hit the bullseye for you at Royal Ascot?
Yeah, I like in the King Charles as well. I like one. I like Asfura. She's coming into this race arguably in better form than she was last season. Her run a couple of starts ago in Australia was very, very good. And if she has improved from last season, then she's got to have a right chance, because these Australian sprinters are just better than ours. She was in great form last season, obviously won this race, but didn't really do anything wrong after that. Bit unlucky at Goodwood, ran a perfectly respectable race in the Nunthorpe. And yeah, I think 7-1 absolutely underestimates her chances. I think she's a great each way bet. My second is Rosalian. Just think that run last time screamed of he's going to come on bundles for it. Travelled just about as good as anything in the race. Still showed that initial spark. He had that turn of foot. He just couldn't sustain it. And I think he's a cracking bet at 4-1. I absolutely make him the one to beat. It's a cracking division, the mile division this season, but there's just something a little bit special about Rosalian, and he's got winning form at Ascot, albeit on a different track. I think he's going to take the world a beating, and I think 4-1 is a cracking bet still for Rosalian. So they're my two for Royal Ascot.
Yeah, exciting mile division, as you say. And I mean, we're looking longer ahead. You've got Field of Gold after last week. You've got all the Guineas form. It's fascinating for what will happen throughout the rest of a flat season. Of course, Postcards will have you covered with all the tips for the rest of a flat season, no worries. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of appearances from Ed Nixon. Ed, give us your two for Royal Ascot, please.
Well, first of all, Tom will be glad to know we're going down to Richard Hannon Stable on the 9th of June. So the Postcast will have exclusive access before even we put it on Unibet of our interview with Richard Hannon about Rosalian and a few of his other Royal Ascot contenders. For me, well, I think Rosalian is obviously one of the horses we're looking forward to seeing. But another horse, I think, maybe some people have forgotten about, but we're looking forward to, or I am, is Economics, who really looked a fantastic horse last year. That Dante performance still lives in my mind rent free. And I kind of thought, we all thought he was going to be a fantastic horse. He did win his Group One, but then disappointed. So interesting to see him get back on the track with William Haggis. So Economics and the Prince of Wales Stakes on a Wednesday. I'll be really interested. I noticed he's about 5-1, which, you know, if he's fit, raring to go, it'll be a good race, but seems to me to be a fair price. But the one that I'm putting up is a filly that maybe not many know about unless you really watch your racing day in, day out. It's in the Albany. It's Venetian Sun, who is a once race filly from the Carl Burke stable, who won at Carlisle over five in a really good time. According to my speed figures, it was the best time of a first-time out two-year-old. They're going to go up a furlong to the Albany. I think that's what they've said. And at the moment, you can get 10-1. There will obviously be these monsters from Aidan O'Brien and Charlie Appleby stables. I know that. But just that speed figure. And the form has taken a bit of a boost. The second one, the Hillary Needler, last Saturday. So, yeah, 10-1, owned by Tony Bloom. She's already entered in the Group 2 in Ireland at the back end of June. So they obviously think she's up to it. Yeah, 10-1, Venetian Sun. That'll do me.
Yeah, make a strong case. That was the thoughts then at Royal Ascot for Keith Mayles, Tom Park and Ed Nicholson. Let's move on to the main part of the show where Haydock is our area of focus and the big race of the weekend. And it looks a bit of a cracker, this. The 3:33 at Haydock, the Betfred John of Gaunt Stakes, where we've got proven horses taking on some improving types. And at the top of betting is a proven one indeed. It's a Group 1 winner in Audience at 3-1. Alan Narby at 7-2. Kinross, no more proven than him in the lineup, at 9-2. Spycatcher, 8-1. Room Service at 10s. 10, Bob Tony, 11-1. Kukui, related, of course, to the Great Frankel at 14s. Volterra, 18-1. Grey's Monument, 20s. Mount Athos, 22s, along with Quinault and Tiger Bay, 28s. Let's start with you, Tom. What do you like in our opener?
Yeah, great race, isn't it? I think Audience, you can probably take him on here. Obviously, they've got a lot to find with him off his rating, but he's talented on his day, but I just think he's had a few disappointing runs and he just seems one of them horses that you've really got to keep the lid on. And yeah, I think you absolutely have to take him on here. I like Ali and Arby. Won well here over course and distance. They've experimented with trip with him, but they may well have found his niche. These 7-furlong horses tend to be specialists. So he's been tried at a mile and a quarter a few starts ago. I thought he was really impressive. And he's going to have to take a big step forward because this is it's a good race. But I thought he was the most solid of those towards the top of the market. Kinross usually needs a couple of runs to get going, but it's obviously very, very good on his day. I mean, if this was towards the end of the season, I'm sure he would probably be favourite. But I thought Ali Narby was pretty solid here. So he's the one that I'm going to be siding with.
Yeah, he's about 7-2. Keith, what's your fancy here?
It is an interesting race. And, you know, Parky mentioned Ken Ross there. I remember being dead against him when he reappeared in Chip Chase at Newcastle this late June last year, thinking, there's no way he'll be fit. And he nearly put a lot of egg on my face, finishing second. But you look on form, Audiences on those runs that stand out, miles clear on the ratings. But as Parky says, a hard horse to catch right. So, I look down and there's, of all the horses that have a chance on form, there's one whose price stands out a little bit. There's a horse that I think I might have backed him in this race last year when he finished in midfield, and it was Quino, who is a bit of a horse that takes a bit of time to get going. He has one on reappearance, but that's when he was rated, you know, in the 70s or something. He was far too good. Didn't matter how fit he was to win that day. But he has tended to take a few runs to get going. He's run twice already this year abroad in the Middle East. So he has got a little bit more behind him at this stage of the season than he would have at this stage last season. He is pretty deadly over a stiff six or an easy seven, which is what you'll get here. He handles a bit of cut in the ground. We've had a lot of rain up here this week, and he handles that better than quite a lot of these. And in fact, when he was entered, I think a few maybe more would have expected faster ground. Don't love that draw in 10 particularly, to be honest. He's a horse that likes to blast out. But with the speed he's got over six, he can just get to the front against some of these horses regardless. And obviously, once you get the slightly softer ground at Haydock, you're playing the percentages by being nearer the front. You know, it's just one of these horses that should be in with the 10-12 shots, but you can back it 20-1+. So it's Keno for me.
Knopfler, Keith Melrose, and finally Ed.
I found it an interesting race, if not a difficult one. I actually am opposite to Tom. I think you can take on Ali Narbi. I know he finished fifth in his guineas, but that race last time, if you look at speed figures, he wasn't that far clear of the handicap winner in the previous race in terms of time. I know time can be misleading and you have to look at other factors as well. But the race itself wasn't the best race in the world. I would take him on. But the question is with what? I totally agree with the comments about audience. Best horse in the race. We put him in at around about 2-1, drifted all the way out 7-2. No one really wants to know. He hasn't got an audience. He just no one wants to know. And I think the horse that I'm probably going to go for, because he is the next best horse in the race, is Kinross. And I was going to make the same point that was just been made. We all think he needs the run first time. But if you look at his record, he's actually not. I think I even said it last year. But when he ran in that chip chase, he did come second, just beaten a little bit, and ran really well. And if you look at his record, he's not too bad. But the thing for me is the ground. I got this horse completely wrong last year. I didn't think it'd win a race last year. His form kept on being disappointing based upon BHA performance ratings. But when he gets that good to soft ground, that's the difference. He just becomes a different horse and soft. And we haven't discussed that. It's going to be good to soft. And as Keith said, if it gets any softer, you play to the percentages. And the percentages are, when it's soft, Kinross wins. So I'm just going to back Kinross because I want to take on the top two in the market. But I kind of think there might be an upset. You're right. Because, you can easily say Kinross might need it softer, might need the run. But I'll go for Kinross. But I want to take the top two on, that's for sure.
Yeah, as you say, Ed, important to mention the ground good soft at the time of recording here on Thursday afternoon. Like to see a difference of opinion on the big race. Good to hear. Let's see if the theories are the same on the 2.58 at Haydock, the Betfred Nifty 50. Leicester Piggott, Phillies State. We're at the top of betting. We've got joint favourites at 9-4. Estrange the Grey, who produced that rather breathtaking win at Goodwood on debut last season versus Shahar, who was a very good winner at Goodwood as well last time. Beautiful Love for Godolphin at 3-1. Chorus at 12-1. Sioux Life at 14s, along with Bay of Sanibel. Our Golden One at 22s and Invisible Friend at 33s. Ed, you can start us off this time. What do you like?
Well, first of all, this is a super boost race, as is the 333, the John O'Gaunt Stakes. So both super boost races, which is where every horse in the race is boosted to the next price up the price ladder from 9 o'clock on Saturday. I'm going to go with an outsider here. On form, it can't beat Sahar or Shaha, sorry. But I'm going to go for Chorus. Big odds. I think 12-14-1. Back at each way. Haggis has got a very good record in this race. I think he's won it three times from nine horses, I think, if memory serves. And Chorus has shown, at least. Yeah, I think he won 23, 22 and 2019. So he always does run a good sort here. And also Chorus has shown, I would argue or suggest, that best form is on the soft, good to soft ground. Certainly her best RPR rating was achieved on good to soft ground. I don't know, but I'm assuming that she needed the run at Goodwood when she finished miles behind Shahar. I can't beat her on that. But I just thought worth a go, given we know the stable likes the race, given we know that she likes the prevailing softish conditions, good to soft, and it's a big price. So, yeah, a speculative each way bet on Chorus.
What are you looking at, Keith?
It's just a race where, you've got a lot of horses with a lot to find on form. In fact, everything's got loads to find on form. A Beautiful Love. Yes, her form is, it's mostly American tracks on quick ground, but she's got, on RPRs and official ratings, £8 and £9 in hand over Shaha and over the, I forgot the Chief of the Parked Horse name, but yeah.
Estrange.
She's got so much better form than them. She's run twice this year, probably working up to fitness. Look at the price she went off at York. That's not the price of a horse that was ready to go. She's probably got other you know, she's maybe going to go back to the States maybe for those same sort of races again later in the year. And for that reason, she might drift again. People will think, well, this is Haydock. This is slightly more testing ground. But she has run pretty well in utter slop at Newmarket as a juvenile. You know, so it's not like she's completely averse to horrific ground. So a bit of cut at Haydock isn't going to be a big issue, I don't think. So a lot of leeway for a horse that's got 8-9 pounds in hand on her best. The two races she's running this year have been over 9 furlongs and mile 2 and a bit, and probably a bit sharp for her, if anything. And she's so she gets a much, much more amenable trip to her today. Conditions maybe not as bad as people might think, and loads to play with on her best form. So I thought Beautiful Love was a decent price.
Yeah, Beautiful Love selection. Keith, I think they should add Utter Slop as a going description. I think that would be a great addition after Heavy. I quite like that. Tom, what's
that's all it will be at Foss Lass, Jane.
Well, I was going to say Foss Lass is where they'd save it for Foss Lass. There is a specific... In my head, Foss Lass Heavy is a genuine going description.
As is Bar Firm on the other end of the section. So what was your fancy, Tom?
I really like Estrange. You're taking a little bit on chance on what we know about her. She's very unexposed. Burst on the scene at Goodwood last year. I mean, how good was that? She's had two runs since. Was beaten on a next start. But won a listed race at Doncaster on a final start last season. I really like that form. Like, she beat a horse called Danielle of the Gosdens, who I think is pretty good. And she made it look pretty ordinary. I think she's very, very good. And I'm really looking forward to seeing her have a good crack this season. I think conditions will suit. You were taking a little bit on chance because she's gone off a lot, as Keith points out, to find with Beautiful Love. She's got a lot to find with some of the others in the field in terms of ratings. But she's only ran 3 times, so it's very difficult for the handicapper to get a grip of her. I'm really hoping she's very, very good, because that was something quite special on her debut last season, and she was very, very good at Doncaster as well. So hoping that she's set for a really good season, and I think this is an ideal starting point for her. So yeah, pretty sweet on Estrange.
Going for the potential there. Now, don't go anywhere, because after this short break, we're going to look at a race which has produced 2 Group 1 winners in the last 2 years. Right, on to our third race now. This is the 2.23 at Haydock, the Betfred, the Classic Bookmaker Achilles Stakes. I mentioned this race has got a good record of producing future Group 1 winners, regional and believing both going on to win at the top level after winning this listed race. Well, will we see a future winner here? Well, Keith Melrose has already made the case for Jasaur, perhaps, as a Royal Ascot contender. He is 130 second favourite because your market leader is no half measures at 2-1 Jasaur, as we mentioned, 100-30. Leovani, 9-2. 7 Questions, 17-2. Democracy Dilemma, 12, along with Rage of Bambi. Chagrin at 12s as well. Balmoral Lady at 18s. And Fahrenheit 7 at 40s. Now, Keith, we touched on Jasaur earlier in the show. Why are we not going with him today?
Well, he had 3 entries last Saturday, including the Temple Stakes, I think, on this on the Haydock card. He got declared for Salisbury. Self-cert didn't run, maybe the ground was too fast or something, but he now runs in this race. They basically want to get a run into him before Royal Ascot, is my supposition. You know, and he might be good enough to win this. I may get him on side if he drifts a little, but I just have this in my head that he needs a run before Royal Ascot. It's all about the King Charles III. So he's not one to take his running up to his best today, I wouldn't have said. So I'm not necessarily with him today. As I say, I may get him on side if we get a slightly bigger price than that, because you don't want to be opposing horses that you generally like under conditions that ought to suit just on some sort of logical thread that you've got in your head. Today's bet, I think, at the prices might be Chagrin, who won the Be Friendly handicap over course and distance on Sprint Cup Day last year. And you look at that York form, where he was 4th last time. I thought he shaped okay in that race. He looked like he was probably a little bit high in the weights to win some of these good handicaps, but it was American Affair won it GM Jungle was second. He's second. He's favourite for a race we're going to talk about shortly. Toca Madeira has since been out and run to a very similar level in a good race at Windsor. And Chagrin was fourth there and shaping pretty well. I did say in my notes after that, he's probably going to have to be listed class to win a handicap near a hand. Well, here he runs in a listed race instead, under conditions that he's known to suit. You know, he has form when it's good or softish side of good, so ground's not an issue again. Thought at double figure odds in a race that is quite interesting, but isn't necessarily hugely deep. And I'm not sure, apart from Jasur, who, you know, we've talked about, whether there's a real grade one winner lurking in this race. I thought Chagrin on the day was a good bet, and maybe an each way bet as well, given his course form's so good, given he's got those two runs behind him already this spring, so he's fit. He's got the ring of a nice each way bet, actually.
Yeah, Chagrin is 12-1 at the current prices, so could well be an each way fancy. Ed, what's your selection here? Would you look for one at a bit of a price?
No, absolutely the opposite. I'm going for one that isn't a price. No half measures is my selection. The favourite at 9-4 at the moment. I think the run at Newmarket, you can put a line through in terms of the ground was miles too quick and they looked after the horse with races later on in the season in mind. I think I said that at the time. I think later on when there's a bit of cut in the ground, this horse will come into his own, no half measures. Obviously finished fifth in the Abbe, class horse. Progressed from a rating of like 73-80 onwards last year. I mean, quite a phenomenal bit of improvement we saw from this horse. And this is a winnable race. I think the good to soft ground is really key. And I also think it's key that Oisin Murphy's been booked. I can't remember too many times that Hughes and Murphy combined. In fact, I do now know because I looked it up and it's 8 wins from 35 occasions. But when they go off favourite, it's 6 from 17. So when he puts him on a fancied horse, they invariably run well. I think 65% of those favourites have either won or been placed. And Richard Hughes won this race 3 times as a jockey, most winning jockey of this race. So he knows what it's all about. So no half measures, 9-4, pretty short, I admit, but I think it's the most likely winner.
Strong fancy from Ed. Finish us off, Tom.
Yeah, I probably won't have a bet in this race because I kind of agree with what Keith has said. I like Jasua. I think he will probably come on for the run. He had a wind up, I think, in the winter. Sometimes you need to get a run into them to kind of reap the benefits of that. But yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do over 5 furlongs this season. Looked a really, really good horse at the start of last season. Obviously won the Commonwealth Trial. I think he was 3rd in the Commonwealth Cup. His form kind of tailed off a little bit then, but that could have been down to the wind issue that he was having. We know how good Clive Cox is with sprinters. There is a little bit of a nagging doubt as to whether he's going to need it. I think, like Keith has mentioned, it'll be a price thing for me. If he does drift a little bit, I'm probably more inclined to back him, which maybe isn't the most logical thing to do. But I'm excited to see what he does this season. I think he got the potential to be a really, really good sprinter. I don't really want to take him on with anything in the race. And yeah, it'll be a price thing whether I back him or not. But yeah, hopefully he has a good season.
Yeah, well, as mentioned earlier in the show, that's the 25-1 anti-post fancy for Keith for the King Charles. We're going to move to York now for the 240 at York. This is the William Hill Moore Top Prices Handicap, where a really competitive race, as Keith touched on. Your favourite is JM Jungle. How well does he run out around York at 4-1? Duran at 9-2, Loom at 6, Venture Capital Bergerac at 10s, Jumbo and Habula at 11s, along with Kodiak Thriller. Miss Attitude, It Just Takes Time at 14s, and Zaya 16-1. Won't do the rest. Let's take it away, Keith. We know you love these big sprints. What have you got for us?
And I do love the ones at York too. And I love JM Jungle. He's a great horse, but I'm looking at this going, the dash is in a week, lads. I know he's got loads of good form at York, but he's so fast. Those times he's been beaten at York and Musselburgh the twice this year, no finishing second. It's all pace with that horse. I just think he wants it as fast as you can give him it. So yeah, he's got a big chance here, but if he was mine, I'd be waiting a week and going for the dash. I actually really fancy the second favourite, Girani. He was my horse to follow for the season. Finished last season with a couple of runs in slightly lesser sprint handicaps at York, but they're always competitive here. You know, he won one of them. And then in October, he got basically caught, stuck behind. It is the danger with horses like him. He tends to get held up or certainly raced just off the leaders. And York sometimes can completely bar those horses from winning, but he is evidently a York horse. He has won here. He's run well here many times. You know, and twice this year, he was second at Beverley. He was second at Ascot. I didn't think Mark Carn gave him a great ride at Ascot, to be honest. I think it gave him more than enough to do. And then he won at Haydock last time. And what looked a strong race to me, Blue Day was second, who had won that Ascot race. A really informed horse and one that's going the right way. And I thought he won a bit more handily than half a length would have suggested. He looked all over the winner from a furlong and a half out, Duran. I said at the start of the season, he's going to win one of these big York sprints, Duran. I'm going to stick by that. I'm going to back him here because this is probably going to be a little easier than some of the races that you get, say, at the Ebor meeting and whatnot later in the season. This is his chance. He's been given three runs to get proper fit in order to be right for this race. Duran.
Strong fancy Duran at 9-2. Current anti-post prices. Ed, do you agree with him?
Yeah, it's Duran from this side of the water, I can tell you. I think he's got a cracking chance. I think Keith said it all. He's the master of the sprints, and not much I can add, apart from the fact that Faye McManaman, who rides his 4 from 10, she gets on well. There will be an almighty fast pace, which this one will suit. Nigel Tinkler Stable are actually in good form. 64% horses running into form on the Racing Post. Last winner, actually, as we record, was a winner. And as you say, loves York, 2 from 3. 5 furlongs, I think, 1-3, been second 3 times. Will appreciate the fast ground. It's won from good to firm to good to soft. Yeah, I just think I think there's something we should know. And I think it's that Duran is going to win the sprint at York.
Very clever, Ed. I can see what you're trying to do there. Let's see what you fancy, Tom. Is it a triple whammy?
Yeah, it's going to have to be. I've been stumped, James. The declaration's obviously not long been out, and my actual fancy Jabat is not there. So I'm hoping I can join the Duran Duran boys and make it a Duran Duran Duran. Because I can't really, I'm not going to argue because I've not really looked at any of the others that are in the race. Keith obviously has made a very good case for him, so I'll certainly be joining the boys in backing Duran.
You could say we're wild boys.
Right, we're going to move on, Ed, until you lose us too many more listeners with your horrendous music puns. Let's do the rest of ITV. Three races we've not covered. The 148 at Haydock is our first, which, Keith Melrose, you've got a fancy, and given it's another big sprint.
Yeah, it is. And it's a race, you know, it's not 25. It's a lesser sort of level of race than some of these big York sprints we talked about. And Sergeant Wilco is top weight. He was 5th in one of those good back-end York sprints last year, the one that Strike Red won. And I thought he came back with a really quite good run at Newcastle last time. He's been going off the sort of price that suggests he's a horse that's working his way back to form. It's the sort of thing sort of Kevin Ryan tends to do. And I thought he shaped pretty well at Newcastle last time. He's got loads of form in races like this. They've got cheap pieces on for the first time, and he's absolutely fine when the ground is just on the soft side, which is likely to be here. I thought it is just a half beat easier than the races he tends to find a little bit too hot, and he's coming right, and I just thought it was a lot in his favour. So Sergeant Wilco in the 148 for me.
Move on to the 210 at Chester, where Ed, you've got a fancy for us.
Yeah, I like a Fine Interview, by the way, at Haydock. I think William Buick ruled Haydock last week. He's got some good rides, and that's one of them. At Chester, the 210, I quite like the look of Fair Point. It's their big handicap of the day. And Fair Point, I think, has got a good chance first time out for Rafe Beckett. And Edward Gray Trex, which is an interesting combination. I noticed that they were on a winning combination at Windsor last weekend with the 2-year-olds. So I kind of did a bit of investigation. He's actually got a very good record for Rafe Beckett. He's 9 from 45 with a positive level stake return to just to SP even. And he tends to get on quite a few of the well-fancied ones when obviously the top jockeys can't ride and they've gone somewhere else. He picks up the, in inverted commas, the spares, but they seem to be quite good spares. And Fair Point, I think, might be just one of those. He's already won at the Fair Point, albeit a 2-5 in a maiden fillies race. It might have been this card last year, actually. Has run better with a bit of cut in the ground. At the moment, it's good to soft. And the stable in good form. I kind of did some analysis. It probably doesn't mean that much, but I was looking at horses first time out on turf, i.e. off a break with Rafe Beckett. He's not outstandingly good, but he's 6/45 so this season. So I just, you know, I which is towards the top end of the trainer's table on that kind of stat. And his horses are running well first time out. So, yeah, he's been off the course of 223 days, but he's got a lot of positives there, I thought. So Fair Point would be my selection.
Been a little bit of money for the selection as well. For the final race we'll look at, Tom, you're going to take us away on this. The 3:15 at York.
Yeah, I really like Scenic here. Love this mare. Ed Walker, you see, does the column in the Weekender. And he always spoke in glowing terms of this mare last season. It always made me wonder why they never ran her in a handicap, because she was rated about 89, I think she was. And then they were always pitching her in Patton Company, chasing the black type. And she got a day in the sun in the Galtres Stakes here at York at the Ebor meeting, where she's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. I think the step up to 1.6 will really, really suit her on that form on the nerves, Maya. And I just think she ran a stormer at Goodwood last time as well, where she will come on for that plenty, I would imagine. Ed Walker said as much in the Weekend of this week, that she will come on for it. This will have been the big plan, given how impressive she was at York last year. And I think she's a cracking bet. I really, really like Scenic. And I love horses who run well on the nerves, Maya, and come back. And this looks the ideal race for her. If you watch that win in the Galtres, you would have no... She'll have no issues stepping up to this kind of trip. It'll arguably bring out more improvement. I think she's a cracking bet.
Strong reviews from Tom, and a good plug there for the Weekender, Ed Walker's column. Always a good read. Gives plenty away, doesn't he, Ed, Tom?
Good read.
We will go on to our best bet of the weekend after this quick word from our sponsors.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet. You're on.
Okay, just before we get to our best bets, Ed, what offers have you got for us this weekend?
Yeah, quite a few, I must say. Let's look at Haydock, first of all. The 148, we're going two offers here. You can choose between money back offer or the extra place offer in that particular race. Then fast forward to the Pinnacle Stakes and the John of Gaunt, which are at 258 and 333, respectively. We're offering super boosts on both of those. That Chester race that I looked at, Fair Points race, that's also an extra place race. That's the Ladbrokes Handicap at 210. And then the big one where there seems to be three fancies for the same horse, the 240 at York, we're going extra place in that handicap. It is a typically difficult handicap, although you wouldn't think that listening to our analysis of it, but that is an extra place in that particular contest. So yeah, quite a few different offers, and there's plenty of other offers on the non-ITV races, but they're just the ITV races.
It is time of the show to have a look at our best bets of the weekend. Our nap, we will start with you, Keith. I think we can guess which one it is.
Yeah, Duran, 240 York. Let's give him a chance to land that big York handicap I said he'd win back in October.
Okay, Ed?
Yeah, Duran, save a prayer for me and Keith, because I'm going for him as well to win this handicap. Got a good York record, good sprint record. Yep, big pot for Duran.
Nod of a disapproval from Tom Park. You're not, what are you going for, Tom? Something more sensible. Come on.
Disapproval at the puns rather than the tip itself. 3:15 York. I like Scenic. Really impressive at York last season. had a pipe opener at Goodwood last time where she stayed on from the back, finished second. I think this step up and trip will really suit. And yeah, I really like chances of Scenic.
And I'm going to go for Fine Interview, which you touched on, Ed, in the 140 at Haydock. Just feel this horse. The trainer's in fantastic form. This horse really needs to put up a big performance if you're going to get into the Wokingham. William Buick, as you said, was riding out of his skin at Haydock. So Fine Interview for me in the 148 at Haydock. Thank you very much to our panel. That's Tom Parker in the top right, if you're watching along. Ed Nicholson, bottom right, and bottom left, Keith Melrose. And thank you very much to you for watching along as well. As ever, don't forget, you can join us again next week on the podcast at 7 o'clock next Thursday, where it is a very special show indeed, because we'll be looking at Epsom and the Derby, a classic weekend. Will we manage to find the Derby winner? Well, you'll have to join us and find out. But for now, do make sure to enjoy this weekend's racing. Goodbye, and of course, gamble responsibly.